Let us now give our attention to Brother Neil Ryan as he considers the final part to this symposium, Stand Firm Against the Devil's Crafty Acts in the Field of Education.
The world that we live in today is very unstable. Unfortunately, many around us believe that the pursuit of higher education ensures true security, even financial security. But is that so? And how are we to understand the term higher education? Well, the Watchtower, October 1st, 2005, defined higher education as this: a university or college for 4 or more years, leading to a bachelor's degree or to postgraduate studies for careers in medicine, law, engineering, and so forth. So such university education is what is meant when Jehovah's Witnesses use the term higher education today. But what do you think, young ones, what do you think is the absolute and highest form of education that you could possibly receive today? Is it worldly higher education, or is it divine education? Well, let's see where Jehovah himself puts the emphasis, found in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. And that's Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. And there it says, "And all your sons will be persons taught by Jehovah, and the peace of your sons will be abundant." So Jehovah himself, right here in this verse, promises to teach all of us with divine education. And he does that by means of the weekly meetings, publications, and assemblies such as these. And so Jehovah emphasizes divine education. However, don't forget that Satan the devil himself is just as eager to mold the minds of young ones in the world today. And that's why we have to be determined to stand firm against the devil's crafty acts in the field of higher education. Now, we just noted in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13 that when Jehovah educates, it equals peace, doesn't it? But what can a young person expect if they were to pursue higher education with the thought of gaining great wealth or making a name for themselves? The answer is spiritual danger. To illustrate, picture your young son or daughter climbing a ladder that's propped up against a very tall building, and you as the parent stand at the foot. As he climbs higher and higher, what's his goal? Is he climbing to make a great name for himself or to obtain wealth? You look up at that ladder and you see some of those rungs aren't too stable, and the wind begins to blow furiously. How do you feel as the parent? Helpless? Has your son or daughter fallen yet? No, but the indication seems to point to danger, doesn't it? So we can liken this to the problems that are often encountered in colleges and universities by young ones who are away from the loving shelter of their parents' homes. The problems they face there is far more complex and different than the problems they faced in high school while they were in your home. So Christian parents, we do well to think about these two questions. Should we knowingly expose our children to that kind of environment for 4 or perhaps more years? Is the risk involved worth whatever benefit that the young one could possibly receive? So we do well to give serious and prayerful consideration to those two questions. And we can be assured that if we keep the kingdom first and seek Jehovah's interest, that it will help protect us against this possible crafty act of the devil. At this time, let's look on a demonstration in which a young one who's about to graduate high school and his mother approach an elder for advice before making their own personal decision.
Brother Wilson, I got some great news today.
Well, tell me, Manny, what is it?
Well, when I got home from field service, I opened my mailbox, and there it was, a full scholarship to FSU, Financial Security University. As soon as I opened read the letter, I immediately dropped to my knees and thanked Jehovah.
Actually, Brother Wilson, Manny and I would like to talk to you about this great news that he got today.
Well, I tell you what, let's take a couple of minutes. Let's talk about it. Because, Lori, I sense a different tone in your voice. You sound concerned.
I am. Frankly, I'm torn. Raising children in this system as a single parent hasn't been easy financially, and I don't want Man to have the same anxieties that I've had. Financial security, job security, providing for health insurance, I want him to pioneer. So could this scholarship maybe be an answer to our prayers?
Well, first of all, let me thank you both for approaching the elders to get Jehovah's direction. But now, Lori, you are a fine example as a single parent. And Manny, you're doing so well in school and in the congregation, carrying the mics and helping with the magazines. These are really commendable. However, this is not an easy decision, but it is a personal one that you would have to make. Now, one article that will no doubt have a bearing on your decision is found in the October 1st, 2005 Watchtower, pages 28 to 30. Now, the title of that article was, Parents, What Future Do You Want for Your Children? Now, this is the article I referred to a couple of weeks back, and maybe you still have your copies available. Why don't we look at a couple of points mentioned in that article? Let's start with paragraph 10 under the subheading, The Cost of Pursuing Higher Education. Now, since you've gotten a scholarship, your education is supposedly free, right, Manny?
Right.
But there are strings attached. For example, why does the government or states provide these scholarships to these universities?
Well, it's to fuel the national economy.
Well, how so?
Well, the college degree will increase the amount of money you can earn and also increase the amount you can spend. And this will ultimately put more money back into the economy.
So, although your education is supposedly free, what does the very next sentence say?
The price that a student pays is a life engrossed in advancing the present system. Wow, I never thought of it that way before.
Yes, and that paragraph also highlights a question. Is this what Christian parents want for their children?
No, definitely not.
You know, Lori, there's a scripture mentioned there, 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. Could you read that for us? And let's get the Bible's principle behind that.
Furthermore, the world is passing away, and so is its desire. But he that does the will of God remains forever.
No, I don't want to be a part in advancing this system. I'd rather be a part in doing Jehovah's will.
Well, you know, that sounds real good, Manny. But now, let's note what paragraph 11 brings to our attention. Manny, what is often the environment in these university and college campuses?
Well, it says that people binge drink, smoke, do drugs, they cheat on tests, and the atmosphere is very immoral.
Yes. In fact, the paragraph also describes this term, hooking up. What is meant by that, and how prevalent is it?
Well, it says that hooking up is a one-time sexual encounter between acquaintances, and 60 to 80% of college students are doing it. It even says that if you're a normal college student, you're participating in this. Wow, Brother Wilson, that's very serious.
Yeah. Yet, what the world calls normal on these campuses, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, Jehovah says that those practicing these activities will not
inherit God's kingdom.
Wow, Manny, you know, I'd really be worried about you. Besides the bad environment, all the pressure to do well in school, to study for exams, and even the part-time job you're going to need to get, how much time will you really have left for spiritual things?
You know, Lori, those concerns you just mentioned are found in paragraph number 12. But now, let me draw your attention to the three questions in paragraph number 13. Lori, would you read those for us, please?
Should Christian parents knowingly expose their children to that kind of environment for 4 or perhaps more years? Is the risk involved worth whatever benefit the young ones may receive? And most important, what are the young ones learning about things that should come first in their life?
Mom, we really have a lot to think about.
Yes, we do.
Well, I tell you what, how about you discuss this at your next family study, and I'll check back in to see how things went.
Thanks, Brother Wilson, for always pointing us to the Bible and the other publications to make these decisions.
Did you notice that the elder did not condemn or recommend, but rather used the Bible and available articles to reason with the young one as well as his parent, leaving the final decision to them? Well, the elders do the same in the congregations today. Now, how reassuring it is to know, though, that Jehovah offers protection to young ones in two specific areas. One, as they continue to fulfill their spiritual goals, and number two, fulfill their need for secular education. Jehovah says he will protect them. Look in the Bible at Psalm 91, verse 1. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 91, verse 1. And this scripture is so reassuring because when young ones come home and tell us what goes on in high school alone, it's a very scary place, isn't it? But notice what Jehovah says in Psalm 91, verse 1. And there it says, anyone dwelling in the secret place of the Most High will procure himself lodging under the very shadow of the Almighty One. So young ones can dwell in the secret place. This is a figurative place of spiritual safety and security from the world. And notice where it is, under the very shadow of the Almighty Himself. Can you think of any safer place that you'd want your son and daughter to be? Well, parents, we have two questions then to meditate on. Are we perhaps sending our children outside of that spiritual protection of the Almighty if we support or passively condone their pursuit of higher education that is neither required by Caesar's law nor useful in advancing kingdom interests? We do well to dwell on those questions. The second one, does a degree guarantee security? Well, we can conclude that it doesn't equal everlasting security because only divine education can do that. But it doesn't necessarily equal financial security now either. Please note these facts. According to one study regarding university graduates, approximately 60% of students will eventually work in a field unrelated to their college major. One newspaper in France stated that university students attend school knowing that at the end of their studies, I quote, will be no better off with a degree in their pocket. Time magazine states this, most colleges are seriously out of step with the real world in getting students ready to become workers in the post-college world. So it's no wonder why the October 1st, 2005 Watchtower went on to give this practical advice. Often, learning a trade or getting practical training in some field of production enables one to obtain secure employment more readily than does having a university degree. So a higher education does not automatically equal financial security in this system. And so how thankful we are that the faithful and discreet slave is again sounding a very clear warning that the pursuit of higher education can become a crafty act of the devil. With this in mind, let's interview one individual who's pursued divine education, and let's see what blessings she's been able to get. We're going to interview Sister April Mallett, who's from the Limestone Congregation. Now, Sister Mallett, we know that you've been pioneering for some time. Exactly how many years?
17 years.
Wow, that's excellent. So what has motivated you to enter the full-time service?
Well, Brother Ryan, I count it a privilege to have grown up in a Christian household where my parents spent a lot of time trying to instill in us a deep love for Jehovah and to their 8 children. We had regular family Bible studies. We were at the meetings regularly, and we were out in service regularly. Unfortunately, my father passed away. And although we could have been working full-time, pursuing a secular career that would have allowed us to contribute even more to the family budget, as a single parent, my mother still encouraged us to regular pioneer.
Wow, so good training by the parents. So the third question is, how have you been able to support yourself while pioneering?
Well, my parents, they never encouraged us to get a university education. They never pushed us to take college prep classes. But they encouraged all of us to learn a trade in a vocational technical high school. And the emphasis was put on excelling in our trade. And this I did. I applied myself academically. I was an honor roll student. And this led to me being one of 2 students in the high school chosen to receive on-the-job training as a pharmacy technician.
Very good. Now, did you have to have any further schooling with regards to pharmacy technician?
Well, you know that the economy is hard and the market is hard, even for part-timers, even especially. So I took an at-home program, which allowed me to get a national certification. And I feel like this national certification allowed me to be more of a valuable employee and also opened up other job opportunities. And this has allowed me to pioneer as a pharmacy technician through the years.
Yeah. So really applying yourself in high school helped open up many opportunities for you to get a good skill. Very good. So how has your spiritual education helped you to stand firm against the devil's crafty acts?
Well, we know Satan would like to dupe us into thinking that higher education is the road to a successful, secure future. And even though through the years the hospital has encouraged us to pursue and further our education and shown a willingness to even pay for this education, and I can't say that I never given this matter any thought, but this is where divine education has proved helpful, because there we're reminded that it's through divine education and seeking the kingdom first that we find true happiness and security, and not through a university education.
Very good. Now, how would you say that you've been blessed by pursuing divine education?
Well, by pursuing divine education, this has freed up my time, my energy, and resources to enjoy a life and a career in the full-time service. And one of my greatest joys I've had is having the privilege of pioneering alongside my husband, who also is a pioneer. And this has contributed to us receiving lots of blessings in our marriage and also strengthening our marital bonds. It's also has given us the privilege of aiding several individuals into the truth. And it's a pleasure to see them grow and serve Jehovah despite difficulties and challenging health situations. All these things have brought joy to our lives.
Very good. So even in difficult times, how have you kept a positive attitude towards serving Jehovah in these last days?
Well, it takes a lot of prayer, and seeing Jehovah's guidance and blessing in our life and in our ministry has kept me having a positive attitude. I often find myself praying to Jehovah for even more innovative ways of being even more frugal, just to keep up with the rising cost of this economy. But thankfully, Jehovah answers these prayers time and time again. And so this has added much joy to our life. And this helps me to see personally that Jehovah is willing to help us and guide us so that we can remain in the full-time service and not give up, even in these difficult times.
Very good. Well, we thank you so much for your excellent example in the circuit. As this system draws to a close, the admonition for both young and old is not to seek their own interest, but to seek the interest of Jesus Christ, who zealously preached and made disciples. We do the same, don't we? And it's excellent for us to consider the example of young Timothy. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20 through 22. That's Philippians chapter 2. Verses 20 through 22. And we'll notice two things as we read these scriptures. Number one, what were others doing around Timothy at this time? And number two, what was Timothy's focus? That's Philippians 2, verse 20 through 22. For I have no one else of a disposition like his who will genuinely care for the things pertaining to you. For all the others are seeking their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know the proof he gave of himself, that like a child with a father, he slaved with me in furtherance of the good news. So verse 21, people were just seeking their own interest at that time. But Timothy was known for slaving in behalf of the good news. So may we be determined to slave shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters in furtherance of the good news. And let us be determined to resist the devil's crafty acts in the field of technology, entertainment, recreation, and in the field of education. Only then will true security be reached as we await the fast approaching end of these last days.